Now, as I was saying, drugs are bad. You shouldn't do drugs. If you do them, you're bad. Because drugs are bad, okay? It's a bad thing to do drugs, so don't be bad by doing drugs, okay? That'd be bad. Drugs are bad.
Yes, this is episode 22, right?
13 o'clock, episode 22.
22. We're gonna do one called The Devil's Breath.
Yeah, woo!
Yeah, I first heard about The Devil's Breath off of Vice.
Yeah, and that's probably where most people heard about this, because Vice did a very like well-known documentary, probably, but what was it, 2007, I want to say? 2008?
Yeah.
Something, it was a while back.
Yeah, and I grew up in Brazil, and I'd never heard of The Devil's Breath. I was kind of surprised.
Yeah.
I grew up in São Paulo, Brazil. And, you know, I had friends from across the spectrum, down at the street level and rich friends. And the ones at the street level, you know, I'm surprised. I thought I would have heard of this drug, but I guess they don't use it in Brazil.
Yeah.
But it scared the crap out of me hearing
about
this drug.
Some of the stories about it are very serious, especially the ones that were on Vice. And what we kind of wanted to do with this show is sort of try and sort out the reality
from
the
fiction.
Legend.
Right.
Now, you know, nobody knows exactly, but it seems like there's a lot of stories about this drug that seem like they're kind of exaggerated. I'm not saying that it's not a scary drug, because it is.
What the devil's breath supposedly does is turns you into basically a zombie, where you will do whatever a person says and not remember it when it wears off. And evidently you don't show any signs of being drugged. You seem totally lucid. You'll get dosed with it. They'll say, let's go to your place. You're going to give us all your stuff. You'll even help them load up a truck and
empty out your shit.
You'll empty out your whole apartment. And, you'll even go up to the doorman and say, oh no, it's okay. I'm moving, you know. And then it wears off and you're like, man, my house is empty.
Where's all my shit?
Yeah. And I saw that and I was going like, man, that's some really dangerous shit there. Is that true? And I was thinking, that can't really be true, because if a drug was that powerful, you'd think the CIA would be using it.
Right. So the thing about this drug, it has a very long and complicated history. Now, the main bone of contention and why it made such a big impact was specifically that, because it was supposedly, one, very easy to administer. You could just blow it in people's faces or hand somebody a piece of paper or a business card.
Wipe
their face with it, or hand somebody a business card or a piece of paper that had been saturated with it.
Yeah.
And immediately these people would be totally compliant.
Yeah.
They would do whatever you said.
Some people even reported that just the smell of it was enough to get you to become compliant.
Yeah.
But man, you know, so we went and did an investigation.
Yeah, and that's kind of the most controversial aspect of it.
Yeah. I think we should probably talk about the network, though. Didn't you have something you wanted to say about the network?
Oh, well, we just wanted to remind everybody that the Project Entertainment Network, on which our audio version is hosted, they still have a Patreon. On the YouTube video, I'll put a link, but other than that, just go to patreon.com. You know how it goes, and say Project Entertainment Network. Throw them a couple bucks. They have some cool swag, t-shirts, you know, postcards from the different podcasts and whatnot that you can get if you give a couple of dollars. So, you know, just do that. Plug that.
Yeah, I also wanted to plug that Jenny has a really cool book coming out in probably the next couple months. When you say probably?
Yeah. It'll be out like the early part of this year.
Yeah, there's no other book like this. It's basically an encyclopedia of all of the poltergeist reports going all the way back from probably, what, 500 AD?
Yeah, something like that.
That's the oldest one. It's like 100 and something cases, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be really good. It's not ghosts. It's not a collection of ghost stories. These are actual classic poltergeist-type cases. You know, we're talking about, you know, along the lines of, you know, Carrie and, you know, basically, you know, the fire starter. This is, when you say, well, each one's a little bit different, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I have a whole chapter in there on fire starting poltergeists. I have a chapter on stone throwing poltergeists.
Right.
But like I said, it's just pretty much every well-known story and a few obscure ones, you know, going back to like the 5th or 6th century, you know, as far back as they've been reported. And I kind of, you know, go into like a little summary of each case. So yeah. I try to get as many cases as in there. And then the end of the book is going to be kind of like a general parapsychological perspective on poltergeist activity. So if you're into that kind of stuff, the book's going to be called The Unseen Hand. It's also going to have a subtitle, but I haven't figured out what it's going to be yet. But it'll probably be out in a couple of months. It'll probably be 2 months.
It's going to be really good. I don't think there's been a book like this written.
Not for a while, anyway.
No, not for a while.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess we can go ahead and start with the Devil's Breath, then.
Yeah. So we're talking about the Devil's Breath.
Yeah.
It has, actually goes under many names, and I first heard of it. I didn't realize it was the same plant until we started doing the research for this podcast. Now, when I was in, now this must have been probably, I guess I was still in high school, so it must have been the late 80s. And I remember that there were these news stories going around that there was a teen trend. You know how fucking news in the 80s, it was always teen trends. They were always doing something crazy. Yeah. And most of it was bullshit, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, but how I first heard of it. So,
alcohol enemas and things like that. Yeah, all the kids are doing alcohol enemas now.
We're putting tampons in vodka, soaking them up and sticking them up our butt.
I'm like, who's doing that?
I'm like, no one's doing that. Come on, stop it. Who would do that? I don't know. But so here's the thing. So there were some news stories going around when I was a kid, that people were taking the flowers of what we call angel's trumpet, because I don't think they grow wild in Florida, but a lot of people do have them ornamentally because the flowers are very pretty. Like, so a lot of people have those trees in their yards. And I think a neighbor of ours had a tree with angel's trumpet on it. But, apparently these teens, those crazy teens, they were picking the flowers and infusing them like into a tea and drinking it as a hallucinogen.
Okay.
Now, not that I hung out with a bunch of druggies. I hung out with some druggies, but like I did not know anybody that did that. And honestly, like after I found out this was the same drug and stuff like that, the drug that comes from this flower, they're like very, very few people use it recreationally because the high is so unpleasant.
It's a bad trip.
Because the effects are so unpleasant. So he said, like, a lot of people are not using it.
And it's called scopolamine.
Scopolamine is the main alkaloid that's in this flower. And it comes from what they call it. It grows wild in Colombia. Mm-hmm. And it's actually called the drunken binge tree.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's actually, it's related to deadly nightshade, henbane. It definitely is poisonous. No one's saying that. Although it does have some legitimate medical uses.
Yeah.
Now, scopolamine, it's also known as hyoscine. It was actually isolated by a German scientist in 1880.
It's always some Germans coming up these weird drugs. What's up with that?
Well, they didn't come up with it. He just discovered that that was the compound that was causing these effects.
Okay.
And
I just got to blame the Germans.
Okay.
I love the Germans.
Everything is the Germans' fault. Yeah. Fucking Germans.
Yeah.
Just kidding. We love you, Germans.
Yeah.
But, so he isolated in about 1880. Now, its first use was actually, to induce labor or to, kind of take away the pain of labor. Now, evidently, the doctor that discovered it, he noticed that when he gave it to women in labor, that they would start telling the truth or something. It's like, I'm not really sure. Like, how did you know it was the truth?
Maybe started asking them some pretty spicy questions and they're fessing up.
Maybe that's what it was. Yeah. He didn't really specify.
Oh man, need the babes. Love this one.
So then they started thinking, well, maybe it would work as a truth serum.
Right.
So it actually was experimented with as a truth serum in the 20s and 30s. And I think later on, I think the kind of the communist government in Czechoslovakia was using it as a truth serum.
Yeah, to get people to confess to crimes that they didn't commit.
Yeah.
I even think that they accused Joseph Mengele as but that was debunked.
Well, it's unsubstantiated. Right? Unsubstantiated. It could be true. It was just rumored.
I don't think Mengele was interested in scopolamine.
Probably not. But the problem with it as a truth serum, which I think even, and I think this is even on the CIA website that American police and the CIA had experimented with a little bit, so they did admit it. But the problem with it is that it's also a hallucinogen. So you don't really know if what they're telling you is true or if people are just making shit up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like I said, I think I mentioned before, it actually does have legitimate medical uses.
Seasickness and stuff like that.
Yeah, like if you've ever
It's like real small doses.
Yeah, if you've ever worn one of those patches to keep you from getting motion sickness or seasickness, that's what's in there. It's scopolamine. It's a low dose. And it's also used to treat Parkinson's disease, anti-nausea, like how some people get sick from anesthesia. Like before surgery, they'll give it to you to keep you from getting sick. So it does have some legitimate medical uses. However, in high doses, it is some nasty ass shit.
Okay.
And it will actually kill you.
Mm-hmm.
The bone of contention is whether it takes your free will away.
Yeah. Does it make you a zombie?
Does it make you a zombie?
I mean, now, evidently, they even said that Mesoamericans, you know, like the Maya, that they would give scopolamine to human sacrifices, or like when a king dies, his wives and his consorts all were given scopolamine, and they would walk down into a tomb and be buried alive.
Right. It would make them more compliant.
Or it would make you, willingly lay there and get your heart cut out. That kind of thing.
Right.
You know, that's a serious claim.
Yeah.
Could you really give somebody scopolamine and tell them to, hey, lay here while we cut your heart out?
All right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Why not?
I kind of doubt it. I think that If a drug were that powerful, it would be far more popular, especially with intelligence agencies. You capture a guy and you give him that and use it as a truth serum, or use it to execute a political enemy. Drive your car into this wall, you know.
Yeah, you'd think they'd be using it everywhere.
Yeah, you would think so.
Now, the main use for it, and I don't think this is in any dispute, most of the cases that are reported of criminal gangs using it, which is pretty much the only people that use it, because like I said, recreationally, it's not fun, so most people don't take it recreationally. In Colombia, Ecuador, places like that, which is where the tree grows wild, evidently there are whole criminal gangs. Down there, they call it Burundanga.
Mm-hmm.
It's also called Devil's Breath. They call it Angel's Trumpet up here, the flower, but it's the same plant. So these criminal gangs will synthesize the shit into a powder. It looks like cocaine. And they will give it to women and rape them, or they will give it to men and rob them.
Yeah.
So I don't think that that's in dispute. That does happen. Like these gangs, a guy will be at a brothel. He'll be approached by a prostitute. She will put some of the scopolamine in his drink.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he won't remember anything. Like, she'll take all his money and leave him on a park bench somewhere, and no one will remember what happened to him.
Why don't we give him some tales? Let's give him some street legends about this.
Okay.
Tell us some stories.
Now, on the Vice documentary, they actually talked to a few people that apparently had been victims of this particular drug. There was one guy on there who he went to, it was a brothel or a nightclub or something like that. And he was approached by two women. He was partying there with his friend or whatever. And evidently the women put scopolamine in his drink. And then he started to forget things. Now he woke up the next day or whatever it was on a park bench.
Beaten.
He was beaten up. And he found that most of his money or all of his money was gone. Had been taken out of his bank account.
Mm-hmm.
All his credit cards were gone. All his wallet was gone. Everything was gone. And he didn't really remember what had happened to him.
Yeah.
So now, apparently, there was footage of him taking his money out of the ATM.
Yeah. And he said that the girls that were with him, but they were out of the camera. In other words, they were off camera.
Right.
Yeah.
So like I said, he appeared to be taking his money out
willingly.
Yeah. But he says he doesn't remember doing that. Of course, he was super drunk as well. Right. Like, because he had been drinking all night with the girls. So,
God, this tank is loud.
Yeah, what the hell? Well,
it's an vaping? It's an RDA, you know? They're loud.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what
it is. They make lots of vapor. We had to open the door because I was afraid I'd set the smoke alarm off.
It still might. That would be exciting.
Yeah, that has happened. I can't make enough vapor to actually set a smoke alarm off.
That would be hysterical if that went off on here.
That would be funny. I'd leave it in the show, too.
Well, yeah, of course.
Everybody would be laughing at me. Because they had people in the comments, is that vaping? What's he doing? You know? And then, like, some of the vapors like, hey, what e-liquids do you like?
You know? You should have said, no, you weren't vaping. It's like, no, he's just Darth Vader.
No, yeah, that's just my respirator.
Yeah, he's Darth Vader back
then. I get nervous. I start vaping.
Yeah.
We're all getting off topic. Off topic.
That's okay.
All right.
So anyway, so... And, you know, they also had the Vice documentary. They also had a prostitute. They interviewed her, and she said that she willingly admitted that she used it all the time.
Yeah.
To steal money from her Johns, to steal things from various people. Now, she said that she administered it by putting it, like, smearing it on paper and then smearing it on people's noses.
Yeah, she said she did it to an old lady, and she had a heart attack.
Yeah.
But I didn't really believe her.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
Growing up in Brazil, you understand that, you know, that the culture there, especially kind of at the street level, they like to grandstand. They like to tell stories, you know, and they'll exaggerate a lot to you know, it's kind of like a sign of their power. You know what I mean? So I don't know how. I think it's lies, a lot of it.
And
exaggeration.
That's what I mean. That's why it's so hard to kind of get to the bottom of it, because the drug is actually dangerous and it does have particular effects, but I don't know if it's quite as scary. Because here's the thing, it's like Vice might have kind of started it off by calling it the world's scariest drug, and there were all these kind of big deal articles about it. And like I said, it just kind of reminded me of back in the old days when they were talking about, oh, these kids and they're making tea out of angels' trumpets and they're getting high off it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it does seem like it's kind of maybe some exaggeration there.
Yeah, you know, they had a drug dealer telling a story about a friend of his who got dosed with it that kind of rang true with me. He said that he had a real high tolerance towards drugs, so he got dosed with it and it didn't affect him, so they kept dosing him until eventually he just died.
Yeah.
And he never really yielded to it.
Right.
You know, he had to give him a lethal dose to get an effect. So that maybe that might account for some of the inconsistencies in these stories.
Yeah, that's true.
Some people report remembering what they did, and other people report that they can't remember anything that they did.
Yeah, because the one girl that they interviewed, she was apparently given it by a stranger. He was asking for directions or whatever, and she like took him somewhere, and he bought her some juice or something, and she drank it, and apparently was dosed with it. Now, she claimed that she's like, I happily went to my apartment and handed over all my money and all this other kind of stuff. But she apparently remembered doing that.
Yeah.
But see, the strange thing about it is that the drug itself, it does cause memory loss.
Yeah.
It's like a date rape drug. It's like a roofie. It will make you not remember shit that happened to you. So you'll wake up the next day and go, what the fuck did I do? You know what I mean? But the weird thing is that some people's stories about it, they do kind of remember that shit. So I don't know if some of these stories are kind of exaggerated or or if people's physiology just means that maybe they kind of do remember some shit. They just, you know, it's like, oh, I did this, but I don't know why I did that or something like that. It could be.
Well, let's try to tease it apart.
So, and making things more complicated too is that there are stories about the drug that are pretty much certainly urban legends. Back in 2013, there were a lot of urban legends going around, and, you know, they turned up. Usually it happened in Texas or Missouri.
Florida man.
Yeah. It wasn't Florida man this time. It was Texas man this time. If it's not Florida, it's usually Texas or Arizona. There's some fucked up.
We live in Florida. We know all about Florida man.
Yeah, Florida man. We should do a whole show about Florida man. People are insane.
I'm lucky I haven't turned up as Florida man.
Oh, you will one of these days, I'm sure. Okay. But so there were some stories going around that there were gangs in the U.S. that apparently were saturating business cards with scopolamine.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the story would go, a lady went to a gas station and she was at the pump and this guy came up to her and said, oh, I have a painting business. If you ever need any painting, he handed her a business card and then he gets in a car and then she gets back in her car and starts to drive. And then she notices that these guys are following her in a car and then she starts to feel super funny and she's dizzy and everything like that. Yeah. And in the urban legend, nothing bad happens to her. She just pulls into a driveway and says, hey, I feel like shit. And then the guys drive off.
Right.
But, you know, the legend is that the paper was saturated with scopolamine.
Right. And that the smell of it got to her and just touching it was enough.
Right. Now, see, but the problem with that is that a lot of medical professionals or people or toxicologists or people who study this kind of thing say that you can't get that bad of a dose just by touching something
right.
that's been soaked in it.
Yeah.
So here is kind of where a lot of the controversy arises, because one of the big things apparently in Colombia, and actually this happened in Paris as well. There was a case in Paris a couple years ago where apparently this criminal gang, it was two Chinese women and another guy whose race they didn't say,
I think they said it was a Chinese crime syndicate, so okay. They must have all been Chinese.
All right. So they were apparently going around blowing this stuff into the faces of old people, and then when they kind of were zonked out, they would take all their shit.
All right.
But I'm not super sure, like, if that was scopolamine, if they were positive that that's what it was. Apparently they did it a bunch of times before they caught him, and they said that that's what it was.
Right.
But I'm not sure.
Now, in those stories, were they going to the ATMs and cleaning themselves out as zombies? Like, here, I'm gonna give you all my money. Here's, you know, I'll enter my PIN number.
Yeah.
Was that happening? Or were they losing consciousness and they were just taking their purses?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I'm not real sure, like, if the reports didn't really say
okay, but reports
that they were... they just said they were robbed.
Like, yeah, they were so robbed of their money. That's
so
vague.
You know, some of them may have been taken to an ATM. See, that's the thing where that's why I kind of wanted to do this subject, because there's so much myth and legend about it.
Right.
Because, like I said, anything, even like a lot of alcohol, even roofies, anything like that, I've been dosed at a nightclub before. Okay. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was Rohypnol. I don't know if it was GHB or whatever. But, you know, what happened in my experience was I was there. I was on my first drink. I don't even think I finished my first drink. And then all of a sudden I was like, I'm really sleepy. And then I just passed out.
Yeah.
And I just hit the floor. I had to be carried out of the club.
You were married at the time.
Yeah. So my husband was there.
And not to me. Yeah.
Yeah. This was a long time ago.
Right.
And so I was there with my ex-husband and a friend of ours. And so they had to carry me out. They had to put me in the car. And then, you know, on the way home, like an hour later, I woke up and I was vomiting all over myself.
Right.
But I didn't do anything. Right. I was just asleep. I was unconscious.
Right.
And
it was the boobs.
What?
They saw the boobs and they had to dose you.
I guess so.
Oh, that's cruel.
It is. Yeah. You're so mean.
I know.
He's so mean to me.
Yeah, it's all fun and games.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I don't know. This stuff, scopolamine, will zonk you out.
Yeah.
It will make you lose consciousness. It will kill you if you have a high enough dose.
Yeah.
The question is, will it make you walk around like a normal person and do whatever anybody wants you to do after somebody just blows it in your face?
Yeah, that's the legend. Is it true?
That's what I mean. I don't know, because I don't know if just blowing it in someone's... I mean, I feel like, and some other toxicologists have said this online, you would pretty much have to ingest it or like snort it up your nose for that to have any effect. I mean, if somebody blew it in your face and your mouth was wide open and you swallowed a bunch of it, maybe.
Yeah.
But just blowing it on somebody or just swiping it on someone's skin, I don't see that that would be potent enough.
Yeah, because they're in the Vice documentary. There's a young prostitute. She's what, 21, 22?
Yeah.
And she just said that all she had to do was wipe it across somebody's face.
Yeah.
That's what she was saying.
Or she
and that
would...
was enough to turn them into a zombie. And in one case, she wiped it across an old lady's face in an attempt to rob her. And she fell over dead, I think.
She just said she had a heart attack. She didn't say if she died.
She didn't say
or
she
not.
Died, right. And that's, I'm trying to analyze her, you know, because I understand Spanish. I speak Portuguese fluently, and it's very close. And I know South American culture, and I think she was grandstanding. I think she was grandstanding.
She might have been.
Yeah, and because she was also trying to get a little bit of a pity party for her going on about how hard her life was.
Yeah.
I wasn't totally buying what she was saying. I don't think that's enough. Because guys that I believed, you know, their stories of dosing people, they said they had to put it in people's drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know,
or they had to put it in a cigarette and had to smoke it.
Yeah. Which, right. That's totally believable.
Right.
Because, like I said, I've been dosed before, just a little bit in a drink, and it knocked me the fuck out.
And in that same documentary, there's a funny drug dealer, a street-level drug dealer. The guy's hilarious.
That guy seems super fun.
He's hilarious. He goes in to go buy scopolamine, and when he comes back, he's totally coked out, and he's hilarious.
If you haven't seen it, you guys,
he's totally coked out.
It's worth it just for that guy.
And he opens up the little package of scopolamine. All right. And he goes, you smell it. Oh, we got to ventilate the car.
We'll all get high.
We'll all be zombies. And then he goes, no, don't worry. It's not enough.
Yeah.
So you're kind of seeing its legendary effects. Hey, just smelling it enough. But then he goes, no, don't worry. It's not enough.
Yeah.
So
he said it was airborne.
It's airborne now, so right
watch
there,
out you guys
right there you see kind of like the street legend,
yeah,
that just smelling it is enough.
Yeah,
but then he backs off of that. Now don't worry, it's not enough.
Yeah,
not enough.
And you can see how that shit kind of happens,
right? And they're scared of it so much that where they're handling it like it's plutonium or fucking anthrax or something like
that. And he did say that.
He said it's like anthrax.
It's worse than anthrax, he said.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know.
Come on. What's the truth?
Yeah.
What's the truth? Well, the second part of the show, we'll try to get down more of the truth.
Okay. Well, you want to take a break now? Because we're like,
it's about time for it.
Okay. So we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Watch out. There's a new terror taking over kitchens around the world. Thrills, chills, mad cooking skills.
It Cooks, a weekly podcast brimming with recipes, tips, food finds, seasonal specials, and guests galore. Hosted by horror author Amber Fallon, hey, that's me, a foodie with over 20 years experience cooking, baking, and generally making a nuisance of herself. You've watched Food Network, you've read cookbooks, but nothing can prepare you for It Cooks, coming to a device near you.
Subculture Corsets and Clothing is our favorite store for unusual clothing, shoes, and accessories. They offer a wide selection of men's and women's clothing at great prices. Subculture also offers a cool selection of shoes and accessories. Steampunk, gothic apparel, retro, corsets, and so much more at Subculture Corsets and Clothing. Check out Subculture online at subculturecorsets.com. That's subculturecorsets.com. Make sure you use the discount code 13O'Clock for a 10% discount. SubcultureCorsets.com or visit their store in Jacksonville, Florida, just off I-95.
Ladies and gentlemen, Project Entertainment Network presents The Mondo Method. Introducing the mentor, he's the greatest manager of all time, Mondo Guerrero! And parts unknown, up-and-coming superstar, The Great Buddha!
Okay, so the names are really Armand, Rosamelia, and Chuck Buddha. And old man Armand is going to teach Whipper Snapper Chuck how to write a book. And maybe you too, while they're at it. With marketing morsels from Parents Sweet Amahari. Exclusively on Project Entertainment Network.
There are terrors, real and imaginary. And I write about them all. Paranormal nonfiction. Horror fiction.
The Rochdale Poltergeist.
The Mammoth Mountain Poltergeist.
The Associated Hopeful Monsters.
Red Menace.
The Five Poisons.
Bellwether. Go to www.jennyashford.com. Or search Amazon for the Jenny Ashford author page.
And we're back.
Yes.
Talking about the devil's breath.
The devil's breath. The world's most dangerous drug.
Yeah.
Scariest drug in the world.
Yeah.
It's that we're gonna give this to you and you'll climb up to the top of an Aztec temple and we will cut your heart out and you'll love it.
Awesome. Let's do it.
Is it true?
See, I don't know. That's where.
Well, we should know because we've done the research.
Well, I know. But see, the experts don't know.
Even the experts don't know.
Like I said, there's so much myth and legend built up around this. And because that there is truth at the bottom of it. Like I said, scopolamine, which comes from this flower, is a very powerful substance. Mm. It will make you unconscious. It will make you not remember shit.
Yeah.
It will make you hallucinate.
Yeah.
If taken in the right dose. Does it make you a zombie though? And here's where, and actually this is funny because we had some friends over last night and they were asking what our topic was today. So we were talking to them about it. And our friend Dimitri said exactly the same thing that I was thinking, that this whole blowing shit in their face and turning people into zombies, I was like, Serpent and the Rainbow.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if people are conflating those two things. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, you know, I'm sure most of you are familiar. Serpent and the Rainbow was based, you know, the movie was a horror movie, but it was based on the anthropological studies of Wade Davis.
I saw it when I was a kid in high school.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, a lot of people liked it.
I thought it was a good
movie. My friends liked it, but I watched it and I go, man, that movie sucks. There's just something about it I didn't like. It didn't do anything for me. I like stuff. Just that movie didn't do anything for me.
I liked it. Okay. But the movie was obviously highly exaggerated. But it is based on real research that this guy did. However, you know, yes, there is a powder that's poisonous like that. It comes from a blowfish and it's mixed with other things. But in that movie, it was the same kind of thing. Like these, you know, voodoo doctors, you know, witch doctor, whatever you call them. They were going around. It's not a witch doctor. I don't know what the fuck they are. Yeah. But, in the movie, they were going around blowing this powder in people's faces. And it was putting them into that weird catatonic mm-hmm. kind of state. So I don't know if people are conflating the scopolamine thing with the Serpent and the Rainbow thing, which was actually fictional.
Right.
That zombie drug that they use, the blowfish poison, that is a neurotoxin. And it can cause catalepsy. Mm-hmm. But as in this case, I don't think that you can get a high enough dose just blowing it at somebody.
Right.
Because so much of it, like, diffuses out into the air, you wouldn't really get much of it. You know what I mean? It's not like it can just land on your skin. You're like, oh, man, I'm fucked up.
Right.
I don't think the dosage would be high enough. You would have to give it to somebody. They would have to drink it or snort it.
Well, do we have another legend or at least a story about it? That we can tell the audience of exactly what happened to a person? Or are they all just too vague?
That's what I mean. It seemed like most of the stories that were in the Vice documentary were kind of vague stories.
I noticed that too.
And, you know, the one girl, they were talking to these girls at the beginning, like in a restaurant. And she was like, oh, my uncle was a cab driver.
Yeah.
And somebody gave him scopolamine. But really, all that happened in that story was he died.
Right.
And I'm like, so she didn't really know that many details about it. And
she never said that he became a zombie.
Right.
That he did whatever
and
they
honestly,
asked him.
Honestly, really, there were only one or two things in there where people actually said, there was proof that somebody saw me doing stuff, like helping these criminals clean my house out or doing bad things or whatever. So, is it possible? Like I said, it does. The drug can make you
passive
and suggestible. Right.
They said it affected your amygdala.
Amygdala, yeah.
And which is that it controls your aggression and fight or flight response. But probably suppresses that. So you don't want to fight back.
Yeah.
Is one of the things that happens.
But the question is, would it make you do something that you wouldn't normally do if you had all your faculties?
Well, are there any feelings of euphoria from
Not that I ever saw.
Okay.
I mean, really, like I said, if it caused any kind of euphoria, then people would take it for fun. And apparently no one does that.
Okay.
I mean, even in Colombia, where it grows wild, and even though they were talking to this drug dealer, and pretty much everyone they talk to down there, it's like, why would you take that for fun? We have coke. We have weed. It's like, this shit is no fun. It makes you violently ill. It's a bad trip. It lasts for a long time. The trip can last for a day or two.
Right.
You know, like several days. And it's not pleasant. Hmm. So they said no one really does it for fun.
Does it lower your inhibitions?
Not so much. Huh. I mean, that might be something to do with it. But like I said, a lot of things do that. Alcohol does that.
Right.
I mean, yeah, and you might do dumb shit on alcohol that you wouldn't do when you were sober, but how drunk would you have to be for somebody to go, hey, give me all your money out of the ATM, and you go, sure, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't know. Well, maybe people might.
I don't know. You've seen me drunk. I remember everything that happened.
Yeah. So I don't really know. Like I said, maybe some people are just naturally more suggestible than others.
Yeah.
And so maybe it works like that on them.
Right.
But maybe if you were a more strong-willed person, it wouldn't really work on you because you'd be like, nah, I'm not going to do that.
Well, that one drug dealer said that they had did it to his brother. Wasn't it his brother?
Yeah.
And then it just killed his brother.
Yeah.
Because it was either his brother or his friend. I can't remember the
I think it was his roommate. I think he said it was his roommate.
So they just kept giving it to him, and it didn't have any effect on him until it killed him.
Because if this drug could really do that, mm-hmm. and could really do it
reliably,
then you'd think that fucking terrorist organizations all over the place would fucking use it and stuff
like weaponize
that. Yeah, of course. So I don't know where the truth lies. And really, it seems like almost all of the stories about it come from Colombia or Ecuador.
Right.
Couple stories, like I said, there was one that came out in the paper in France. I think that was 2013, 2014, about a gang that were doing that to old people. And I think there have been maybe a story in Thailand, Vietnam, something like that. But there haven't really been any confirmed cases in the U.S. of it happening. Okay. There's been some urban legends. And like I said, there was an urban legend when I was a kid about, you know, kids making it into tea. Mm. But like I said, I didn't really know anybody that was doing that. And it's funny, we were talking about it this morning, and I said, this might be a kind of thing where, I don't remember if you guys, one of our very early shows, probably the second one, that we did about the Satanic Panic. And I said, and I think the media coverage of the devil's breath is kind of along those same lines where, you know, just like in the Satanic Panic, you know, are there creepy serial killers out there that maybe will draw a pentagram on something? Yeah, right. It does happen. Mm-hmm. You know, is there an organized cabal of these people mm-hmm. going around, you know, sacrificing babies and all that? No.
Yeah, using women as breeders.
Right. So I feel like this might be that same kind of situation mm-hmm. where, you know, is scopolamine dangerous? Yes.
Are gangs using it? Yes.
Are gangs using it? Yes. Yeah. They do use it. They put it in people's drinks to rob them, to rape them, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, but the thing is, I don't know. I don't even know if there's a distinction to be made. It's bad enough, mm-hmm. like getting dosed with a drink and then waking up and all your shit is gone.
Right.
Or finding out you've been sexually assaulted. You know, but the question is whether you were complicit in your own victimization.
Right. That's what the
legend, I guess, is this. Right. That's why it made such a big impact and like why everyone right. says it's so scary.
Right.
Not just that you've been rendered unconscious and people are doing horrible shit to you and you don't remember it.
Right.
But that you were going along with it.
Right.
And I think that's probably why people are afraid of it.
Right.
And the funny thing is in the Vice documentary, the two guys, like, and I actually read an interview with one of the guys that went down there. And he said that before they did the documentary, mm-hmm. like, he was all jazz. He's like, yeah, right. I'm going to try this shit. I'm going to give it to my friends and make them do all kind of stupid shit. It'll be hilarious.
Right.
And then when he got down there and started hearing all the stories about it, they actually score, if you see the documentary, they actually scored some, and they put their little face masks on and stuff and they're opening it all carefully like it's going to blow up or something. Yeah. And they end up just kind of flushing it down the toilet.
Yeah, they chickened out.
Yeah. Because he's like, oh, you know, I heard all these stories and suddenly it wasn't funny anymore. Right. Like, I'm like, I don't know, it could still be funny. But like giving it to your friends and be like, do this, do that. Come on, it'd be hysterical. You could put it on YouTube. But I think that's kind of what he was thinking when he went down there. But then when he actually got down there, he's like, oh, maybe it wouldn't be so funny. But because it might actually kill you, or it might actually make you do all these horrible things that you don't want to do. But like I said, it's kind of like, I don't know. And I feel like the media doesn't help, because it's kind of like, you know, they're having all these headlines, world's scariest drug, zombie drug, all this kind of stuff. And I feel like that's not helping. Because in a way, and I think, like I said this on the Satanic Panic show too, and I thought about this when the news was going off about Angel's Trumpet and all these teens making tea out of it. I said, you know what? Probably no one was doing it before, but now they are, because right. you talked about it.
Yeah, or at least, it was like
they're making a trend out of something that wasn't one.
Yeah, that's like old school clickbait. I didn't, you know, I knew a lot of guys that were drinking, you know, when we were young, we just drink our asses off. They weren't doing alcohol enemas.
No, I don't know a single person.
They were made that up.
That did that.
Yeah.
That seemed like that went around like probably a couple years ago.
Somebody realized it was possible and they just wrote a story about it.
Yeah. Or
maybe
it's like
one guy did it.
That's the thing. One guy did it. Like, you know what? I bet somebody saw it on like Jackass or something.
Yeah.
And then, you know, somebody did it, and then suddenly, you know, one guy does it, and then suddenly the news picks it up, and it's a wacky story. So suddenly it's a trend. Everyone's doing it. And like I said, the more the news brings it up, well, yeah, people are going to try it then. Oh, they think, oh, let's all do this. That sounds like a cool idea.
But as far as devil's breath goes, based on everything I could find about it, everything I've heard about it, and the testimony, I think basically all it is it's something similar to like a roofie.
Yeah.
It's not going to be reliable. Some people are going to have a high tolerance and a resistance to it. Other people will be roofied and they'll be robbed. And they may go along with it to a certain extent, but it's just because they're passive. And maybe they've also been kind of affected by the propaganda of devil's
breath. And that kind of gets back to what I was just saying, is that sometimes the media makes the story. It's like, it's like it's a snake eating its own tail.
Could be that someone comes under the effect of it and they go, man, I've been hit by the devil's breath. I'm going to do whatever they say.
Yeah.
And they just kind of go along with it.
Because that's how it works.
And they are, intoxicated, so they just,
Yeah.
They fall victim to it, almost kind of like a voodoo curse mixed with a drug. And voodoo curses only work if you believe them.
If you believe them. And they do work.
Right.
Because, it's just like the placebo effect.
Yeah, like a placebo. Yeah.
The weird thing about the placebo effect, though, it's like you would think that it only works if you don't know you're being given a placebo. No, even if you know it's a placebo, it still
works. Right. It's kind of the same thing where if you tell somebody, look, LSD makes you go crazy.
Yeah.
All right. You will lose your mind and you'll never be normal again. And then you give somebody LSD and the fear of the LSD and them expecting to lose their mind, they'll have a really bad trip.
Yeah.
And,
That's why that's why it's very important. If you're going to do LSD, go into a positive mindset, man. Because otherwise you're going to be in big trouble. Just saying. Don't do drugs, kids. They're bad.
But I think that's a big factor of it.
It might be.
Is the legend behind devil's breath.
And maybe that's why
is affecting the people who get dosed with it.
Because it does seem like, because it came to the attention of Vice and everything like that, apparently there is a lot of street legends about it.
Yeah.
So like you said, it might be like a feedback loop where people are getting dosed with it and then expecting.
Right. Chances are, I think if you were to dose somebody with devil's breath, In evidently the proper way to dose somebody, which is put it in a drink.
In a drink, that's the most common.
Or put it in a cigarette. Yeah. All this wipe in the face and blowing powder, I don't buy it. Even if you were to dose somebody in the U.S. with that, and this person had no idea what devil's breath is, it's not part of the culture, I guarantee you they would just get sick.
Yeah, they would just get sick, or they would just fall asleep.
Fall asleep or lose consciousness. It'd be something like that, probably.
Yeah, because we don't really have... other than the Vice documentary.
There's
no cultural expectation of how it's going to make you behave.
Right.
And like I said, I don't think it would be any different.
Now, it might make you placid.
Yeah. But other drugs do that too.
Other drugs would do that
too. Alcohol can do that too.
So it wouldn't be any different than being roofied.
Right. So like I said, I think the problem with it is not that it doesn't do what it's purported to do, because it does. They know that chemical. They know what effects it has.
Right.
But... one, everyone's physiology is different. Everyone's expectations are different. You don't know how it's going to affect you. The alcohol affects people differently. Roofies affect people differently.
Right.
So I don't think there's any distinctive difference between it and any of the other drugs that they use for similar purpose.
We can tell my story. We went out to a club, Jenny and I, one time, and I had maybe two drinks, and I got very violent, very aggressive. I started yelling and I had to be taken out of there. And it was the only time that ever happened.
Yeah.
And I think I think somebody dosed my drink and I think you were actually the target.
Yeah.
I think they got the drinks mixed up.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
Gosh, that was probably 6 years ago.
Yeah. And we think we know who did it, but we're not going to mention any names.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I thought, because I had never seen you act that way before.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just because we'd gone to see a band. We'd gone to see a band that I really like, and Tom does not care for them. But, he went with me.
I like some of their songs.
Yeah, he went with me because he's a trooper.
Yeah.
But, we didn't have that many drinks because the drinks were expensive, I remember. So we didn't really buy that many. And as the show went on, he was just getting
warmer. I started getting really angry.
He was yelling at the band, and
I was in the back. I wasn't even in the front.
Yeah, yeah. People were like turning around, looking at what the hell's wrong with this guy. And I was getting really embarrassed.
Yeah, this is, I gotta get out of here. I gotta get out of here.
And you know, and I was really upset because like I'd never got to see that band before, and I remember I was like, I remember this was before we lived together.
Yeah.
And I remember me getting to your apartment, just going, "Get out! Get out of my fucking car!" Yeah.
And I don't know why I got mad.
And I had never seen you like that before, and I'd never seen you like that since.
So there's no telling what that was in that drink, but it didn't affect me as intended.
No.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, you just got really angry.
I just got mad. I wanted to fight.
I thought you were having like a PTSD episode. Yeah, no. Is what I thought.
I kind of thought so at the time too, but then I looked back and I said, no, that's not what that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
that
weird.
Might have been. But
it was
like,
a weird night.
But
we live down, you know, this is downtown Orlando, and this is. And in that period, that was happening to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Mostly girls.
Yeah. Because, like I said, I've been dosed 2 times. The first time was probably 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I was still married 8, 9 years ago.
And, you had to keep your eye on your drink.
You did,
back in those
and
days.
And I think I didn't know the person that that dosed me, but I think I know who it was.
Right.
Like, because I knew, like, there was a friend of a friend was, like, hanging around.
Yeah, and all it takes is 1 or 2 bad apples. And remember, the cops were investigating a dosing that happened in the bar next to our bar that we hang out at.
Yeah.
Remember that? And they were trying to go through all the bartenders and try to figure out who this was.
Yeah.
And that bartender over there at that other club said that it was happening on a regular basis and that they had a suspect.
Yeah.
And, you know.
It does happen. I don't think, it doesn't seem like it's super common anymore.
All right.
I know, I mean, you know, the bar we go to is mostly a cool place. We know
Most of the people.
We know the owner, we know everybody that works there, and we know most of the people that hang out there regularly, so we don't worry about it as much. But I do know several girls that have been dosed there, not recently, but, you know, in the past few years. I think the last time I was dosed there was probably 4 or 5 years ago. It's happened to me twice.
Remember when Tori got dosed?
That's right.
Me, you, and her boyfriend had to drag her out of there, and she was sitting. She ended up just collapsing and sitting on the sidewalk. Everybody's out there, and she's going, "I'm so sorry. So I was like, "Okay, baby." We had to put her
in
the car.
That's right. I forgot about
that. And she had only had like 2 or 3 drinks.
Yeah, and like I said, the same thing happened to me. I was on my first drink.
Yeah,
I don't even think I finished.
Right,
and I just immediately I remember sitting on the bench going, "Wow, I'm really sleepy."
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden my head just went, and I just fell.
And at that time, in the media, there was a lot of stuff about date rape drugs.
Yeah.
Well, they had guys out there, some losers out there, thinking that they were reliable enough to just use.
The dumb thing about the time it happened to me, though, was that, I mean, I was clearly with people.
Yeah.
You know, I was married. I was with my ex-husband. We were with another friend, a female friend.
Everybody we knew that got dosed was with somebody at the time.
It's like, why did you think? So obviously, as soon as I passed out, you know, my husband at the time and my friend like carried me out to my car, you know, and they drove me home. So I don't know what this person was trying to accomplish.
I don't know. It was just some loser.
I guess.
They're kind of like serial rapists. They don't think reasonably or rationally. They just, I want that woman. I'm going to put this in her drink and she'll leave with me. Well, that's kind of an unrealistic expectation.
Well, yeah.
The girl collapses and her friends carry her out of there.
Of course.
What happens.
And very rarely do girls go out to bars by themselves.
No, they're always guarded.
Mostly for that very reason.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm not saying I've gone to a bar by myself a couple of times, but usually it's, I'm not going to go unless I know that people I know are going to be there.
Right.
And I don't go to places that that I've never been to before by myself. I would never fucking do that.
Right.
I mean, you know, I figured the place we go, it's a safe place. Because I know everybody that
But
works
all it
there.
Is, it takes one lunatic in there with delusions of grandeur and some chemicals in his pocket.
Yeah.
But this, take it back to the devil's breath. I'm guaranteeing you the devil's breath is going to be just something like a roofie.
Like a roofie.
Right.
And like I said, you know, and there's nothing bad about that. It's just, I don't like this kind of, I mean, and even Vice kind of overhyped it a little bit.
I think it's hyped.
By calling it world's scariest drug. And even at the beginning, he said it's like the worst roofie times a million. See, that seems a little hyperbolic. It's like a roofie. It's probably a little bit worse than a roofie. Maybe it's stronger. I don't think it's...
Depends on how concentrated it is, how much dosage you had,
right,
and how little resistance you have.
Right.
I mean, I would think that a person that probably has never had any contact with any kind of drug, and then they get hit with that, that might be very disturbing to them because they wouldn't recognize what's happening.
Yeah, they wouldn't know it was happening. Right. And like I said, yeah, it's upsetting. I mean, I was upset when I was dosed. So you just pass right out and you don't know what the fuck happened to you.
Yeah, like at the time I got dosed, I didn't know what was going on. I just knew that I got really mad over little things.
Yeah, and I didn't know what was going on.
And I wanted to physically fight.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is the matter with you?
Yeah, and it wasn't until it kind of wore off. I was like, that wasn't alcohol.
No.
But I knew enough to get out of here. I said, we got to get out of here. I got to get out of here.
Yeah, because we left before the show was even over.
I was only in there for what? Half hour?
It was a little bit longer.
Hour?
Yeah, maybe like an hour.
Yeah, and that's not normal. Usually we're out till 2 o'clock.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was very strange.
It was unusual.
So I think that was... And like I said, I've never seen you act like that since.
No, I've never acted like that. And...
But that was interesting. If you had been dosed, that's interesting how that affected you. Because normally, like I said, it would just knock you right out. Or make you like really like...
Ugh. Well, you know, my metabolism is a little bit different than other people. You know, it might have been a fight or flight response.
Yeah, you might have been like trying to fight it
trying
off.
Trying to fight
and
it
were
off.
Just, so it was just...
Right. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, because you just turned into like a raging psycho.
Yeah.
Which was very scary.
Yeah, and after a few minutes, I go, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here.
Yeah. So, yeah, Friday.
I drove back.
You did, yeah.
I drove back when I was in
I drove.
You drove back?
Yeah, because I remember when I got
home.
Yeah,
how many times has that happened? That's never happened.
Yeah, because I don't usually drive. I hate driving.
No, that's never happened. Okay, so that's got to be what that was. We were just talking about that the other day.
Yeah.
When we were talking about doing this show.
Yeah. But actually, we're probably getting close toward the end.
Yeah.
I know we didn't really, like definitively come to any conclusion.
Did we debunk this?
But nobody, like I said, I think a lot of the stories about the zombification are probably exaggerated.
I think it's bunk.
And I think people are conflating it, like I said, with Serpent and Rainbow. Because that was exactly the first thing I thought of. They said, oh, when they're blowing the powder in people's faces, I was like, oh, Serpent and Rainbow, and turning them into zombies.
Right.
I was like, I think that's where that idea came from.
Yeah, pretty much debunked. This whole thing about just wiping your face with it, smelling it, blowing in your face. It's not, the dose will not be enough. The drug dealer himself said that.
Oh, and also it doesn't smell like anything. Like the drug itself doesn't have a taste or an odor.
The process of refining it might leave
a
chemical odor. So this blowing it in your face or wiping it or smelling it, it's not going to be enough. All right. This whole thing about being an ultra passive zombie, I guarantee you, that is going to be a, that's not going to be a reliable
That might
result.
Be a case-by-case basis.
That other drug dealer said that his friend, it had no effect on him until, they had just kept dosing him until he died.
Yeah.
All right, so.
I mean, the shit is.
What they're describing is something similar to the other things that they, other date rape drugs.
Yeah.
It may just be a little more concentrated.
Yeah.
Or it might have a slightly different property.
It's bad enough.
I don't think it's anything to worry about.
Right. It's bad enough, like a roofie will just knock you out and people can do whatever the fuck they want to. They just take your wallet, they rape you or whatever, and then they just leave you and you don't remember who did it.
Right.
You know, so you can't really report it or you don't remember what happened to you. That's bad enough.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's all, like if you're a criminal, that's really all you need. You don't really need, it'd be harder to, you know, go to an ATM if you want to go to an ATM and clean out their whole bank account. But I mean, you can take their wallet, you can take their credit cards, you can do all that shit. Anyway, when they're unconscious.
If it was an effective zombie maker, as they say, intelligence agencies would be using it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it was like a reliable mind control drug, it would be everywhere.
They'd be using it as a truth serum.
Because it's a common plant.
Yeah.
It's a common plant.
They'd be using it as a truth serum and all different ways you could use a drug like that. And they don't use that drug.
Yeah.
They're more likely to use sodium pentothal on you.
Yeah, because that's more reliable,
more reliable.
Effective.
And even that is not a reliable truth serum.
There, as far as I know, many years ago, I read a book that was just called Mind Control, and it was all about those kind of experiments. And they said, honestly, there isn't one that's completely reliable.
One of the CIA reports that I had heard about, they said that one of the most reliable truth serums is just alcohol. You get the guy in a good mood, you have a good time with him, and you just get him drunk, and he'll start spilling
And he'll just start talking about anything you want,
Right.
Yeah.
He'll start spilling.
So you don't really need a drug for that.
You don't really need
Like I said, that's not real reliable either, because you don't fucking know what that, you know. But, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think that. And actually, the book I read about it, they kind of said, well, there isn't one that's 100% reliable. No. You can never know if that person is telling the truth or if they're making some stuff up or exaggerating things. Because you know how people do.
And as common as that drug is in Colombia, there would be more stories than we could actually dig up.
Yeah.
You know, most of the stories that we dug up on this are kind of across the board. ODs.
Yeah.
Guys ODing on it. You know, they just died.
Right. Or just waking up and all their shit was gone out of their apartment. They were beat up.
You could do that with any drug.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You could do that with pretty much anything. You could do that if you gave people enough alcohol.
Yep.
Because that makes you sleepy too.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think it's categorically any different than anything else you could use for nefarious purpose of that nature.
No. I wouldn't worry about being turned into a zombie with by that one.
But still, watch your drinks, everybody.
Yeah, watch your drinks.
Watch your drinks for other shit. Not just scopolamine. There's all kind of crap people could be putting in there.
Yeah.
But, you know. Anyway, we're getting to the end of the show. So we will kind of wrap things up.
Well, hopefully it was at least an entertaining show.
Yeah. We just wanted to shoot the shit.
Entertaining drug show.
That's the entertaining drug show.
Okay.
That's going to be our offshoot channel, the entertaining drug show. Don't do drugs, kids. Just kidding. You can if you want. But like I said, Project Entertainment Network, on which our audio podcast is hosted. They have a Patreon. Go to the Patreon. Give them $1. Give them $2. Whatever. And they'll give you some free shit. Also, if you want to buy some t-shirts from us that have our cool-ass logo on them or have some of our cool show
I still
shit
like
on
that
them,
Vril shirt.
I'm gonna,
I still
I know.
Love that
I'll get
Vril
you one. I'll get
yeah,
you one.
Yeah, I need one.
I'm going to make some... And hey, maybe now I can make a Devil's Breath t-shirt.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I should Devil's do it. With the pretty flower on it. The flower is very pretty. That's why some people have them in their yards, because the tree is so beautiful. They look like little bells or like little...
Yeah.
Trumpets, you know. That's why they call me Angel's Trumpet.
Put a devil's face on there and it's blowing like white smoke out of it.
Yeah. That's pretty rad with like a zombie on the other end going, whoa, yes, I will do whatever you say.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm making that shirt now.
Okay.
Okay, so so if you want a t-shirt, go to Zazzle.com/13o'clock and there's 5 different shirts there. And also if you like our show, subscribe to our YouTube channel or go to our Facebook page or our Twitter, which are both 13 o'clock podcasts, and go give us a like or give us a follow or what have you.
Podcasts are doing good. The YouTube show is doing good. We're almost at 200 viewers or 200 subs. A podcast doing good, huh?
Yeah. Pretty
podcast
good.
Doing good.
I mean, it depends on the subject, but you know, we just, like
it's
I said, I think I mentioned on the show last week, we just kind of do subjects that we kind of pull out of our asses and are kind of interested in. So, you know, if some people like them, some people don't like them, whatever.
There was a good suggestion the other day. Somebody asked for a show on Crowley. We should do one on Aleister
Crowley. That's a good idea. Yeah, I think we also wanted to do one on the skull experiments as well. That's another thing we were talking about. So
and we have a guest that wants to come on.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Who they did an episode on Paranormal Witness with this person.
Yeah.
Okay. And this person has not really spoken publicly or done a public show since the Paranormal Witness show came out. And it's one of our favorite
episodes. Yeah, that was a good episode.
Yeah, I'm not going to name any names. But that person knows who they are. They are also a subscriber.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Yeah. So we might be
so we
doing
hope
a
to
show
have you on in a couple weeks. Yeah.
That will be good.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll do it for episode 22, The Devil's Breath.
Yes.
Woo. And see you guys next Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Project Entertainment Network.